Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Audio courtesy ESPN. Hello.
Hello, Kenny.
I'm not concerned yet.
About?
The Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not concerned. What do you mean about? Shut up. Don't play stupid with me.
Well, yesterday you were concerned about all sorts of things with Shador. I don't know what Ken's going to be concerned about.
Well, I'm very concerned about that situation, which 6-4 day got some audio. I think I'm not going to attack anybody. I just think they might have got my message a little bit mixed up there. I am gas bag of the week, according to another show. So it's you missed it on. I'm gas bag of the week. And then they're playing the shut up part that I said to you, they're playing it as a drop.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I go, well, there's worse things to be known for as a radio show host. I got to tell you. I was like, all right, I'll take it. Anywho, at least I can laugh about that. Yeah, last night was terrible. I think a lot of people. So I'm hosting the Brown show, and this is maybe what I think people are most bothered by. I'm hosting the Brown show, and we're in a commercial break, and I'm sitting there with Gerard, and Gerard's like, yeah, I knew it was going to go this way. And I'm like, man, I'm picking up, and like Gabe Kalura knew it. And then Gabe started doing impressions of me, which were fantastic. He is stone cold on the impression of me. It's fantastic.
I've heard like four of his impressions so far.
He's so good with
it. He's the Frank Caliendo of local Cleveland radio.
He does impressions of a lot of personalities and a lot of personalities here in Cleveland. He is a fantastic young
man.
Would
they be, let's say, affectionate, or would they be deemed?
I think they're in good spirit. I think they're in
just
good spirit.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah, I think they're in good spirit. I don't know how the people would take him if they heard him. I love him. I think they're funny. But either way.
He's the man of 1,000 Cleveland voices.
very good at it. I kind of want to go around the room real quick. And Mitch, I'll bring you in. Because Gabe agreed. Meredith agreed. I kind of observed everybody's like, really? You guys thought that? Okay. Mitch, did you feel that the Cavs were just going to lose last night?
I thought they had a chance of losing because Houston's good. I didn't think it was going to be as bad a start as it was.
Okay. Owen, did you think the Cavs were just going to lose last night?
What time are we basing this on? Because when they put 40 points up in the first half, I thought...
Just going into the game. Going into the game. Did you
I didn't think about them before the game.
Okay.
Because I don't.
That's fine. Lyman, did you think going into the game they were going to lose? I mean, Darius Garland being out, that type of thing. Did you think that they were going to be out or lose?
I texted three different degenerate NBA gamblers yesterday.
So how's Zach Jackson doing?
Before the game. He was out one of them. He doesn't really get involved until later in the year.
Oh, okay.
I texted these guys who religiously watch all the games, and I said, why are we only 1.5 point underdogs? I can show you the text. Okay. I thought we should have been like 5 point dogs. I had no, just coming in just without Garland, I thought it was going to be, this is the longest, yeah, biggest team in the NBA. I was like, what are we going to be able to do?
So you felt that way too, right? So yeah. I felt the same way. I mean, well, I felt the same
well,
way.
Can we be honest? Can we be honest?
I wanted to go around the room and be like, oh, I was the only one who thought they had a chance. No. I felt the same
can
way.
Can we now be honest about the meeting that we had after the show where we were talking about having an NBA guest today? And I said, hey, just on our radar, if we get run out of the gym tonight, I don't normally say that for the Cavs, and we're at home, but I did say that yesterday. I'm like, hey, if we get run out of the gym, and it looked like we were going to get run out of the gym.
So if I'm just assuming that they weren't going to win, should I have a problem with this? I mean, this is a this was a 64-win team last year.
We don't have our normal team.
Well, we don't have our normal team, and I watched it, and I watched a whole game last night. I went, that went about as what I thought it was going to be. Kenny Atkinson basically said the same thing in the postgame. We got a couple of clips coming up here in a second, but I think a lot of people kind of felt that it went the way that they thought it was going to go. I got a couple of nasty texts about the Cavs overnight, and we're going to have to get to some of those problems that some people had. But I don't think that anybody was surprised. And I go, man, should that be a problem? Should I have more of a problem with that? Because I look at it, I go, hey, it's November 20th. Well, they played 16 games.
Yes, but it's impossible. Like every conversation we have about the Cavs is whether or not Garland and Mobley are going to be primetime playoff performers. And if this is a year that happens. And Garland's not on the team right now. So this isn't going to be their team. So I'm not going to sit there and agonize, night in and night out about their chances of making a deep run in the playoffs when this won't be their team.
Hypothetically.
Unless you're going to tell me, well, he was injured last year. He's going to be banged up all year with that. Well, that's a different conversation then, but I don't know that. So I'm going to operate as if, he'll be healthy by the time the season starts. They'll manage that. Hopefully they manage it correctly, and hopefully his body cooperates.
So if you guys are watching on YouTube, I'll do a visual thing. I look like OJ here, but I the gloves are on. And I think anybody who's like the people who are just jumping in and are new listeners to it, because YouTube's opened up a world of possibilities to us, and it's absolutely free, 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, is that Lyman knows me very well, and the people here in Cleveland know me very well. I'm not just going to fly off the handle. There is a build. Now, when I fly off the handle, I'm going to fly off the handle, but I'm not going to do it over every single game. I don't do it with the Browns. I don't do it with the Guardians. And I don't do it with the Cavs. And so I have these moments. Well, I know I won an Andre Schmidt cut after the first game of the season, but he's a kicker. So the gloves are on. I'm not ready to take the gloves off yet, but I do know that there's going to be a time where I take the gloves off. And so I don't want to ignore problems until they rear their ugly head. So at what point do I take the gloves off? I said with Evan Mobley, I'm kind of waiting until the first of the year. I said that to you yesterday when we were doing the show. By the way, Cavs Update brought to you by the fine folks at Surfside. Please drink responsibly, 6, 10, and 24 seconds for those scoring at home. Yes, I'm disappointed when they lose, but I'm going, well, they don't have Darius Garland, and they're just, to me, I think they're trying so many different things offensively that you're bound to have some clunkiness to it. And I had this thought yesterday morning, and I shared it with you on the show, where I don't mind them trying new things now. We wanted them to change. I can't yell and scream at them and stomp my feet when they change things. And then they don't go out there and run like a seamless operation. Like, I don't think that that's right. I don't think that's fair. I think that makes me look like a lout. Kenny Atkinson, though, he's been pretty disappointed in these games. Yesterday, I mean, they pulled back within two in the fourth quarter yesterday. And Kenny said, I never really felt like we were with him.
I didn't really feel like we were in the game until the third quarter when Naquan and CP kind of helped us. I think we cut it to four, but the rest of the game they kind of dominated us. I'd say they really mucked the game up. They play off shooters and leave their bigs at the rim. And you gotta make them pay. When they sit in the paint on you, we didn't really make them pay.
And that's why if they had Garland, if they had Strus, and Strus was on, like that obviously is a humongous difference. But When did Houston go on that run? I mean, once Donovan went to the bench, and I think they paired up Mobley going to the bench too. Like they you looked at the lineup and you're like, this isn't fair. Like this would look a year ago. You would have thought this looks like a G League team.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Tomlin and they were Craig Porter Jr. They were a big part of turning this around. Also, you know, not only their activity, but Donovan played like Donovan finally in the second half, and he got things going. So he went on a big run. I mean, at half, I think he had 2 points. So what was that? You know, the blitzing that Houston went with, their philosophy yesterday, that really bothered the Cavs. And Houston was more than welcome with, you know, once they had two guys blitzing to get the ball out of Donovan's hands, they were not worried about the numbers edge that like Evan Mobley would have going downhill. They weren't.
Well,
they just weren't worried about it.
You know, that's
they're like,
thing.
Fine. If the ball's going to land in Evan's hands and he has to make decisions, like there's a cap to that. I mean, there's no chance they're banking. There's no chance that Evan's going to drop 30 plus against them.
216-474-0092. Are there real problems with the Cavs, or are these early season workouts some of the problems with the Cavs that, you know, last year Tyrese Halliburton was bad. You know, I was listening to Justin Rowan talking about it, and he was right. You know, Tyrese Halliburton was bad at the beginning of last year, and then look where the Indiana Pacers ended up. Okay, well, that's one. I'm hearing some grumbling, though, about our guy and Evan Mobley. Kenny talked about him yesterday, talked about his confidence struggling even at the free throw line.
Usually these things are confidence, you know, and he's probably lost some confidence, and guys go through it, these slumps, and he's a good free throw shooter. He'll come back. I just think probably a mental thing, a little bit of confidence lost.
4 of 10 last night.
It's been all year with the free throws. Yeah. You know, it's ironic because I posted yesterday a whole nifty chart, Kenny, that you saw yesterday that I posted during the show, that this year is the best free throw shooting in NBA history. The average is the best it's ever been in NBA history. It's like 79%. Well, Evan's shooting the worst of his career this year. And then it even got torpedoed yesterday further because he actually got to the line and he was 4 of 10 from the stripe. And guys, each one looked worse than the next. Like, it wasn't like, oh, in and out. Oh, he was robbed on that one. No, these were not good. His 3-point shots, he was 0 for 3. His jumper's broke right now. And the good thing is, hey, I'd rather have your jumper be broke in November than, you know, then see if this thing is getting turned around in April. So there's going to be plenty of time for that to happen. But you can see it. His body language, he is not a confident player. I looked, he has not taken 20 shots in a game yet this year, while his counterpart last night, Şengün, has done it like 6 times. So, you know, one thing I noticed about Evan, so this will kind of give him credit too. Evan Mobley, we always thought the ceiling for Evan Mobley is what separates him. It's why he's a unicorn. It's why we put him on a different stratosphere, that when this whole thing comes around, what would we say? Oh, it would be Evan be the best player on the team, not Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the opposite right now. His floor is higher than 95% of the league, meaning he can go out and have a terrible game and still impact it because he's so good defensively. And he's always going to hover around 18 points. Like, even if he doesn't have a good game, his floor has actually been elevated. His ceiling looks like non-existent. He does not look like a guy who could take over basketball games. And there are so many guys in this league, like last night, Şengün. That guy is so much more skilled than Evan Mobley. And to see it in person was jarring.
Yeah, you were there. You were close, too. Good seats.
Oh yeah, we were third row behind Houston's bench.
Congratulations on all your success.
It was awesome experience to just see how Udoka was handling, you know, the run in the third quarter. It was awesome to see KD had a miserable night shooting. He has worst night of the year.
Yeah,
all his contested shots that have been falling all year were not falling yesterday. That's the only reason, honestly, I thought we were in the game.
There was one little thing that kind of it did tweak me a little bit in the post game. I listened to this morning when I woke up. And here's Donovan Mitchell yesterday, and he mentions a term I'm not really fond of when it comes to Evan.
It's not result-based, it's process-based. This is a step in the right direction. Now the question is, can we do it again? He's got to be better from the free throw line, and he knows that, but like, this is the step in the right direction. This is who Evan is at the bare minimum, right? So I know he's going to be hard on himself, and that's why he's going to be who he is. He's going to be great, but to me, I'm like, this is what you want.
A step in the right direction. He's 5 years in.
What'd you think of the process space? That sounds like the Browns. That sounds like what Andrew Berry's been selling for 6 years.
But also, go back to what I just said. I'm being as even keel as I possibly can be. I just said we're trying new things. So I'm putting him in an uncomfortable position. I know I'm putting him in an uncomfortable position. And I think that there are people who are critical of him going, Kenny, he's 5 years in. He should be comfortable in just about any position out there. No, no. And so that I have to come back to that later on in the year and either explain, one, they've made him a much better player, or two, that he's not going to be what we were hoping he was going to be. Because these are some clunky performances from Evan and unbalanced performances from Evan. And I think that some of the fan base is starting to groan a little bit. And I can already see it. But I think when you're doing different things, he's going to be a guy. He wants to be comfortable. There's no doubt about it. I know that they're labeled as soft. There's no doubt about that either. But a guy who's going to be taken out of his comfort zone, it's going to take him a minute to really adjust to that. And I'm hoping that this is going to be the moment for them that they can adjust to this and be better later on in the year. Are these real problems with the Cavs, or are these early season problems with the Cavs?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
18-106, now sitting second in the Eastern Conference with a 10-5 record. Pistons have a 12-2 record to lead the way. Let's get more insight on the Cavs and what's going on. We turn to our good friend Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. He is on the fan hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good afternoon to you. All right, let me start with the pressing question from last night, because I think all Cavalier fans are sitting here trying to figure this out. You know, it's just the whole, what was up with those stupid creamsicle jerseys, dude? I hate those. I'm by myself, I think, on this. Do you like those?
You going with creamsicle?
A creamsicle.
I was kind of going with cantaloupe.
Oh, that's strong. Creamsicle was what went through my mind first when I was watching the game last night. So are you down with it? What do you think the general reaction is to the creamsicle jerseys or the cantaloupes?
I think they're fine. They've had worse ones. I'll put it that way. A couple of years ago, I didn't love the ones that they come out with. I thought in person, I went in the locker room before the game because I wanted to see them in person.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty striking. I was kind of taken aback by them. But when you're sitting where we are in the media section, kind of at the top of 104 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
it didn't feel as bad to me, especially combined with the court. I thought the court looked good, and I didn't feel like the jerseys were as striking as they were in the locker room. So, again, I don't think they're going to win awards for best city edition jersey.
True.
But I don't think they're going to come in last for worst city edition jersey either. So they were just fine to
it's
me.
It's just, I'm going to be honest, and we'll get to real basketball. It's just, I get annoyed. Like, I keep thinking if someone's watching, they're from out of town. And, like, I was watching last night's game on Peacock, and it's just like the land and this and that. And I'm sure that, like, you have to do a double take if you live somewhere else. You're like, oh, the land is playing tonight if you don't see any of the players first, right? I'm not a big fan of the land. I'm not a big fan of those jerseys either. So I've just made my.
Hey, you got to get hip with it, man.
I'm not
the
hip, and that's
the
problem.
Now.
I'm lame. I know. It's been since LeBron, right? Didn't LeBron kind of get it going?
I think.
Yeah, it's been that long. All right, I'll turn the page. I'm sure Jeff feels the same way as I do. So we don't need to dwell on this anymore, but I was craving creamsicles the whole game, so.
I actually thought it was interesting because I was talking to people with the organization before the game, and I said, are you kind of playing off the fact that you go to Sarasota for training camp? They were like, what do you mean? And I said, I don't know. It looks like a sunset. It looks like a beach theme.
Mm.
I know that Cleveland has the water. I know that Cleveland has the lake, and it's got cool beaches and stuff like that. And they were going for the whole sunset. And the sunset last night, by the way, was beautiful because it kind of correlated with the jerseys, if we're honest about it.
Well done.
And I said, this is what it looked like when you were handing out shirts for training camp down in Sarasota, like that sunset in the background. Are you playing into that? And they're like, no comment.
Oh. So
I don't know if it plays into that or anything.
Hmm. All right, let's talk basketball.
I think it's a bad sign when you can't figure out what the actual color is.
Amen, brother. Amen.
That's kind of a valid point. Cavs have played 15 games. Darius Garland has played in three of them. I was a little surprised he actually came back as early as he did, Chris, and now he's out again. Is he okay long-term here?
Yes, he's okay long-term.
Okay.
I think there are a couple of things. I think, number one, this was a fluky thing where he banged his toe against the toe of Nikola Jovic. But I think the other part of that is Darius is going to have to learn that sometimes he's going to bump his toe and it's going to be painful. And it's not always, let's flash back to last year when something was significantly wrong with my toe and it required surgery. Like, there's going to have to be an understanding from him that this is a difficult injury to play through. This is a difficult injury to come back from. There are probably going to be setbacks, and there are probably going to be moments of pain that he feels, and that doesn't mean that that pain is going to lead to surgery. And I think it's going to have to be a mental hurdle that he needs to clear in order to play through this and be effective through this injury as well. But the fact that they labeled it a contusion as opposed to a sprained toe or any kind of ligament issue, all signs are good on that front. He's supposed to do some 5-on-5 work at some point this week. That's a big step in terms of his recovery and getting back onto the court. But, you know, the night that it happened, you could see the fear on Darius's face. You could see the frustration on his face, and you could see the concern, and you could sense the concern inside the organization. So even though he has missed some time here, and even though there is no general idea of when he's actually going to come back and play in a game, is it going to be tomorrow against Houston? Is it going to be Friday? Is it going to be Sunday? Even though they don't have that yet, that kind of clarity, the fact that it was labeled a contusion, and that's all that the scan showed. I think everybody inside the organization was able to breathe a sigh of relief.
Chris, what is a slog, and why does that represent this team so well? I'm just giving everyone, well, that's Kenny his headline today in his story.
Well, Kenny Atkinson couldn't figure out if it was slug or slog, and he kind of went back and forth. And I had flashbacks to John Beilein, which
yeah, let's
was
not
a
do
dangerous
that.
Dangerous yes. thing, and that was a a bad time for the organization, a very dark time for the organization. But I think it's a fitting term for how this team is playing. And it's hard, right, because they're 10-5. They're second place in the Eastern Conference. They're tied for third in point differential in the Eastern Conference. But they're under a microscope this year. And I think the way that you're perceiving this team based on everything that happened last year in the playoffs, based on the fact that they couldn't get out of the second round again, based on the fact that so many of their guys in the aftermath of that loss against Indiana were talking about not enough mental toughness, do we have what it takes to win a championship, all these different things. The regular season really doesn't matter to us when it comes to wins and losses. Like all these different things that they said in the aftermath of it, you are going to look at them through a harsher lens, I think, because what you want to see from the Cavs, and if you're watching this team, you want to believe that they belong in the conversation with Oklahoma City and Denver and Minnesota and Houston and any of these other teams that you consider championship-level teams, championship contenders. And it's hard to say in the first 15 games, and I know it's only 15 games, and I know that there are circumstances that the Cavs are dealing with, but it's hard to say in the first 15 games that the Cavs do belong in that conversation, just based on what we've seen from them. So I think Kenny Atkinson has set a specific standard. This organization has set a specific standard. And there haven't been enough nights that he feels like this team has met or exceeded that standard. He's talked about the offense being clunky. He's talked about the spacing being a problem. He's talked about different lineups, different combinations, different guys missing in and out of the lineup. Stops and starts. He's talked about the growing pains and it's a process and all that kind of stuff. But something feels off with this basketball team that is keeping them from, you know, playing to a level that Kenny Atkinson would consistently consider good enough based on the talent that they have on this roster.
Chris Fedor joining us from the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com covers the Cavaliers. You hear him here on The Fan as well. The young guys, I think, need to step up this year for the team, and I think some of them have. Jalen Tyson, what have you thought in year number two?
I think he's been good. I think the things that the Cavs are asking of him, he has shown that he's capable of. And this is a very different situation for somebody like Jalen Tyson. If you go back to his final year in college, he was everything for Cal. He led them in points, rebounds, assists. He was a high-usage player. The ball was in his hands constantly. He got as many shots as he wanted to take. He comes to a team that has championship aspirations, that is a very deep and talented team, and he's not in that role. That's not who he's going to be early in his career in the NBA. He's going to have to find his way to make an impact in different facets, and I think he's done that. He's picking up dudes full court. He's playing with a level of intensity and aggression and physicality. He's knocking down open threes. He has found a way to slide into a specific role and do a lot of the junkyard dog type things that the Cavs need from somebody like him, because he's not going to get a bunch of shots. He's not going to get a bunch of touches. He's not going to get a bunch of opportunities to break guys down off the dribble. He has to blend into the fabric of the team. And I feel like he's done that. Sometimes it's starting, sometimes it's coming off the bench. And he has shown himself, the comparison that Donovan Mitchell brought up to me about a week ago when we were talking about Jalen, was Josh Hart of the New York Knicks, Royce O'Neal, Donovan's teammate from the Utah Jazz, just that guy who does a little bit of everything that helps the basketball team win and can blend into a variety of lineups. Jalen has done that, and I give him a lot of credit for that. And I think for them, any kind of consistent scoring that they get, any kind of consistent shot making that they get when fully healthy is going to be a bonus. But can you bring the effort defensively? Can you pick guys up full court? Can you do the little things? And he has shown an ability to do that. And that's early in his career. That's how he's going to have to make his mark. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
Chris, kind of look into your crystal ball a little bit with Jared Allen and where they see him, where they think they're going with this thing. Because, I mean, you're looking at the money that he's owed. He's going to be, well, this year he's like 16.8% of the cap. I'm just looking at Spotrac. He's like 17%. And yeah, I'm curious what you think about the way the rest of the season is going to play out for him and the future.
This is a very tricky conversation, guys, because I've spent the last 2.5 weeks talking to as many people inside the organization about Jarrett and his value for a feature that I'm working on. But it comes down to this to me.
Okay.
The way that they talk about Jarrett is not how they treat him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
They absolutely talk about him being this core four member. They talk about him being integral to their success. When he's on the court versus when he's off the court, that differential is striking. When he's in the lineup versus when he's out of the lineup, their win-loss record, that differential is striking as well. But they don't use him that kind of way, and they don't treat him that kind of way. So all these different guys will say, hey, he's our rock. He's our glue. He's the brains of the core four. And then he doesn't see a minute in the fourth quarter. And then he plays only 20 to 25 minutes. So if he is one of your four most important players, if he is one of your four best players, why doesn't this coach play him more? Why isn't he treated that kind of way? Why doesn't he get more touches? Why isn't he more involved offensively throughout the course of the game? And I know everybody has their own role, and Jarrett can find a way to impact the game with his energy, with his screen setting, with his rebounding, with his rim protection, and all those little things that made Jared Allen a member of this core four. But when he can't play in the fourth quarter, or you go away from him consistently and repeatedly in the fourth quarter, you have to ask yourself, are you maximizing his value? And then you have to ask yourself, is there a way that we could maximize his value in a different kind of way? So I think these are all legitimate questions that the Cavs are asking. I think they're all legitimate questions that a lot of people around the league are asking as well. But there's also the other layer to this, right? If you want to go down the path of, would the Cavs be better off trading Jared Allen at the deadline? You have to have that conversation with the understanding that there are so many salary cap limitations that the Cavs are dealing with. They are the only second apron team in the NBA right now, and that makes any kind of trade very, very difficult, whether it's Jarrett, whether it's Dean Wade, whether it's Jalen Tyson, whoever you want to throw out on this roster. I mean, you're talking about matching salary for salary down to the penny. You're talking about not being able to aggregate salaries and trade away multiple players and all these different restrictions that come with the Cavs being a second apron team. So it may be just a situation where Jared's role is just what it is. And it's probably not like what the Cavs seem to say that it is. And he's probably just going to have to understand that and deal with that. Because if the Cavs are going to play a one big lineup, especially at the end of games, guys, that one big is not going to be Jared Allen. They have shown that. That one big is going to be Evan Mobley, who is the most important player to whether or not the Cavs win a championship. So I think anytime you have a core four or a big three, you have some guys who are more important than others within that. And it's clear to me, based on everything that happened last year and what we've seen in the first 15 games of the core four, Jared is the quote-unquote most expendable one if the Cavs ever get to that point.
Chris,
that's how they treat him.
Yeah, when do we see the expanded version of this story? How long until we check it out? A couple days here? Or what are you thinking?
No, probably in the next couple of weeks. I'm still okay. Doing a lot of reporting on it. And I also have to get a real grasp on who Jared is for this team, because sure, I think we're still trying to figure that out, and I think the Cavs are still trying to figure that out. It can't just be, you know, words. At some point, you have to back up those words, and it just doesn't feel like at the beginning of the season that the Cavs are doing that when it comes to Jared.
All right, Chris, thank you. As always, we appreciate your time and your perspective on the Cavaliers. And we're reading every day at Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Thanks, my friend.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Chris Fedor, nice enough to join us on the Fan Hotline, 216-474-0092. Two big points coming out of that. One, what did you think of his thoughts on Jared Allen and his future with the team? And two, thumbs up, thumbs down, or whatever on those creamsicle jerseys the Cavaliers were wearing last night. In their big win over the Bucks. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
And the other big thing is, does it count as the end of does it count as a heave?
They weren't going to count those stats because they wanted to almost encourage people to make those type of plays.
And then guys are going to start doing it with 10 seconds to go.
When you do it and then the opposing team, the Bucks, are able to take the ball up the court and have a legitimate three-point shot after you do that, I think that might discredit all of it.
So here's Kenny Atkinson talking about he's glad they won, but...
I'm glad we pulled it out. That game's not going to go in the Hall of Fame for the Cavs. It's not smooth sailing right now. I say that with all humility, right? We won the game, great, but we just still a little bit clunky on both sides of the ball. The good news is we're 10-5. We're not 5-10.
So, again, like when they have played poorly and lose, Kenny has resorted to the, hey, it's all, you know, it's all good. We're still in the developmental part of this. The only difference in his messaging is when they win those games, he goes, we're just really not. It's the funniest thing. By the way, again, he's doing the right. His messaging's right. It's just funny that now 15 games into the season, we've picked out, all right, if you lose and play a bad game, here's what he's going to say. If you win and play a bad game, here's what he's going
to
say.
It was hard, though, because like you start off the game, you're down 11-2. You get down early. And then really until the Giannis injury, you were just kind of hanging close with them. Like it wasn't. And then the Giannis injury happened, and it just kind of felt like after the Giannis injury, both teams just kind of looked at it as a different game, and then the Cavs just kind of pulled away, and that was it.
I would like to point out, by the way, Donovan was really good last night, and I think we've stopped hearing the should Donovan stop taking over game conversation. That's nice.
That is nice.
It only took 15 games in the season for people to stop on that incredibly asinine idea that Donovan being great is a bad thing.
Yeah, he needs to consistently be great, and he has been, and he will be. The offense does look different without Darius, though. I think that's an okay thing to say, and yeah. I think that's like, if anything, Darius just continues to show the value that he has in this Cavs roster.
Yeah, like Lonzo played really well last night. Craig Porter Jr. played well. Both guys, by the way, played pretty well and on any given night, but it's just they're not lead point guards. Like, that's just not who they are at this point. But Fedor was on with Baskin and Phelps today and talked about the Cavs feeling off right now.
You are going to look at them through a harsher lens, I think, because what you want to see from the Cavs, and if you're watching this team, you want to believe that they belong in the conversation with Oklahoma City and Denver and Minnesota and Houston and any of these other teams that you consider championship-level teams, championship contenders. And it's hard to say in the first 15 games, and I know it's only 15 games, and I know that there are circumstances that the Cavs are dealing with, but it's hard to say in the first 15 games that the Cavs do belong in that conversation. Just based on what we've seen from them, something feels off with this basketball team that is keeping them from, you know, playing to a level that Kenny Atkinson would consistently consider good enough based on the talent that they have on this roster.
I think that's fair. I will do the thing that I hate to do, and I hate when people do it. I'm not judging this team until I see Darius Garland back on the team healthy for a 10-game stretch. Yeah, when I get that, that's when I'll start to panic if they still don't look, or if something still looks amiss.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's all this has shown me, is just the stretch, it just preaches the importance of Darius. And that's okay. That's a good thing that you learn things about people that are and always have been a big part of this team. I feel like it sometimes, so at some points, it feels like a lot of Cavs fans, not a lot of Cavs fans, but I feel like some Cavs fans have taken Darius for granted in many respects. Mm-hmm. And I feel like these are the type of reminders that, like, okay, no, he really does matter to this team.
Yeah, and I think it's the catch 22 of, if you get to a point in the future where you decide we've got to move on from a Darius or a Donovan, we have to choose between the undersized guards, how tough of a conversation that really is, because as incendiary as Donovan is, Darius is a true point guard, and look at the bigs' production without Darius. It's not like, even like I mentioned being frustrated with Evan last night, Evan and Jarrett's numbers per possession are through the roof when Darius has been on the court, and you take Darius off the court with them, and shockingly, they're not through the roof.
Yeah, I felt like a lot of the conversation last night was, it was almost like getting after Atkinson and being like, oh, how do you expect us to flip on the switch? How dare you even think that you can take that approach? And it's like, I don't think that's the approach he's taking. I think they're trying things out, yes. But I also think without Darius, they just know that it's just a different team, and they just kind of have to go through this little stretch, and it is what it is.
Yeah, and I also think they're just in a spot, and I think this is logical that you're here. They've had a lot of success together, but they haven't necessarily broken through. And I think when you get to a point where, I don't want to say it feels stale, because I think you're without Darius. But I can understand if, all right, we've had a lot of success, we haven't had the ultimate success, and once, again, if things feel a little stale together, and then all of a sudden you hit a rough patch of basketball, you're not playing your best, or you're without one of your, you know, five best players, certainly one of your three best players, I can understand if they're just kind of over it right now. We're not in the late December, early January, the doldrums of the sport. But I understand if it's, okay, I've been coming to this same facility for 5 years. I've been doing the same thing. Like, even Jarrett, like, I understand if internally they're getting frustrated with Jarrett because he's the same guy he was 4 years ago. I get it. I think you just should be patient. You've been patient this entire time. I don't know why you wouldn't be patient now when you're missing your point guard, but I don't think it's a coincidence. I think this is the kind of stuff good teams go through.
I do think Chris is right, because I'm right about this, and I know he talked about it with Baskin and Phelps as well, because you bring up Jarrett. It's not that they're frustrated with Jarrett. It's just how they're using him is very interesting. You know, like, they're not using him in the fourth quarter at all, and it's almost as if they're setting it up where if you had a life without Jarrett, what would that look like? I mean, think about, you know, when Atkinson was in Brooklyn, part of the reason and what happened there with him and Jarrett was the idea, and again, this is in Brooklyn, is that he didn't want to play two bigs. He didn't want to play two centers, essentially, is what it is. And so, like, you're watching these games and these moments, and Atkinson, that's not the basketball that he likes to put out there.
Yeah, the problem with that is then you should have traded him last offseason.
Well, I know that, but it feels like, and I think this is where, I think this is what Chris was hinting towards, and this is kind of where it feels like the conversation is going, is that is Jared Allen going to end up being the odd man out, or, and I picked this up because it felt like they were talking trade earlier today, and then when Chris got on, it was more like a trade is really, really hard to facilitate, mm-hmm. and so you might just have to live in a world where Jared Allen is on the team because you're in the second apron. It is too hard to move a lot of these contracts, but it's especially hard if you're the Cavs right now. And so he might exist not as the Jared Allen we've seen in recent years, more the Jared Allen of what you've seen this year, where in the fourth quarter, he's just not even on the court.
Yeah, the only thing about that is, you've got to, no matter how Kenny likes to play, you got to make the most out of Jared. He is still one of your four best players. No matter what the circumstance is, you have to make the best of it. And the funny thing is, I absolutely hate trading him at the deadline, because it's almost going to be a salary dump, but a salary filler. And that's, if you're going to trade Jared, I think the only time you're really going to maximize his value is the offseason. Well, that has come and gone. All right, make the best of it. I really think that Jared
stuff. They might end up being stuck doing that, by the way.
Yeah, I don't love it. Because again, I also think it's really hard to replace Jared in season with 30 games to go and trying to still find yourself. 216-474-0092. Chris Fudor says the Cavs feel off right now. Is that worrisome, or do you think this is just about Darius Garland?
People want me to take the gloves off Evan Mobley, or take the gloves off when it talks to Evan Mobley. You don't wear gloves out there.
Maybe that's why he's shooting so poorly.
You allowed to wear gloves in the NBA, Tone?
Gloves?
Let's go to Just Determine.
I remember Dwayne Wade was wearing full armor from head to toe,
yeah.
and was just jumping into the, and he was getting calls. They won a whole NBA Finals like
that. Oh, he looked like Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
He might as well have been wearing a cape. Hello?
Yeah, how you doing?
Justin Termini joins us right now, SiriusXM NBA Radio. He's the host of NBA Today with Eddie Johnson. Probably the closest show to us when it comes to taking personal shots at each other on the air.
Yeah, let's raise the level here. I want to hear more personal shots, Justin.
How long have you guys been on the air together?
We've been on the air about 11 years. How about you and Anthony? How long have you guys been on
the air? So we're before us, yeah. So I have to give them the proper credit. There you go. Congratulations.
Yeah, give me the proper credit as well. You say SiriusXM NBA Radio. I'm now on NBA TV as well, so throw that out there.
Yeah, what channel?
NBA TV.
Yeah, what channel? It doesn't help if I can't find you. See, I'm on channel 8 here in Cleveland. They just hit 8, and there I am. You see how that works?
No, I'm not in Cleveland. I'm international. Is channel 8 out of Cleveland international? Can you see that in Italy, in Australia, in China?
The Fox 8 CLE Plus app. You can do a lot of other things, as well as 19 Cleveland CLE 19 on their app with Amazon 19 and on Rock and all that other stuff. You don't impress me.
Well, I'm not trying to impress you. More importantly, I'm trying to impress the girls of Cleveland. Sorry. Like that would be nice.
Yeah, but but there was a listener one time and she was tweeting at you and she was definitely willing to meet up with you, and then you were like, I'm a little bit afraid. You were all nervous.
Well, I'm going to travel 700 miles to meet one of your listeners. I don't think that's going to happen. She wants to come to me. That's fine.
What's the furthest you've ever traveled for something like that?
No, I've never even been offered anything, 2 minutes away. So,
all right. Should I be taking off the gloves when it comes to Evan Mobley here?
Well, man, I don't think so. What are you so upset about? Is shooting percentage dipping? I heard you kind of mention that.
Well, I'm not upset. I'm not upset, but there's
more threes.
I woke up to a bunch of people going like, even my buddies texting me like, when are you gonna start ripping this guy? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, stop carrying water. Like my buddy Scott, stop carrying water for him. Like, I don't think I'm carrying water for him, but he is 5 years into his career. I don't think he's very comfortable with offensive change. I don't think they're very comfortable with some of the offensive changes that they're trying out right now. But that doesn't mean I'm going to sit there and go crazy 16 games into their changes that they're trying to make, because I think that this is an effort to make them better in the postseason. Is it not, Justin?
Yeah, and I mean, I think, like, I talked to Nick Nurse a couple of years ago, and he was like, all right, and this is before they traded DeMar DeRozan, who he never got the chance to coach, but essentially what they kept doing is the same thing Cleveland is doing now, where they're, like, hitting their head come postseason time, despite the fact they're dominating the regular season. And Nick Nurse was like, hey, we're going to sacrifice some games in the regular season in order to change some stuff up, experiment, that way we get to the postseason, and we'll be able to, you know, give you a couple of different looks. And, it's, you know, to some extent, it's what Donovan Mitchell said a couple of days ago. It's like, we didn't face any adversity last year because they had like a 15-game win streak, a 12-game win streak, another 12-game win streak. They really cruised. And once they did face some adversity, they were ill-equipped to handle it. So I think it's okay to get a little adversity and, you know, fiddle around with the offense a little bit early on in the season.
Yeah, and Justin, obviously they have not had Darius Garland. And as much as I have complained about Darius come playoff time, regular season, he's sensational and a huge engine for them. And without him, it's really tough to evaluate where the Cavs truly are and whether or not they can be better than last year.
Yeah, I mean, Max Strus is going to start for them too, correct? Right? I mean, I'm assuming he goes back into the starting lineup. So you're missing two starters. You're missing two of your five starters. So I think that you know, that plays a major role. Plus, Lonzo Ball's just getting his legs underneath him again. You know, clearly he struggled so far, but I think he does do a lot of things that you need and changes things up. He's a nice change of pace. So, you know, I'm not too concerned about it. The three-point shooting isn't there right now. That's probably the biggest. So I can't explain the rebounding. You know, maybe you guys can for me. I feel like they were great on the boards last year. They've struggled this year on that end. The three-point shooting, you know, that can come and go. And they've had a rough start to the season with that, even though they're jacking them up more than anybody else in the league. So I think that's the biggest difference. You're taking a lot of threes. You're not making them. Last year, you're taking a lot of threes, and you're making a lot of threes.
Justin Termini joining us right now on the hotline. Is there anything that's happened in the Eastern Conference that has changed your thought about the hierarchy?
I mean, I don't think you can ignore the way that the Pistons are playing. Like Toronto, I don't necessarily take for real because I think they're doing it with defense, but there's nobody on offense that I think can take over a game come playoff time. They're kind of doing it by ensemble. With Detroit, I mean, they got two guys that look like they're absolute studs. Cade Cunningham, you could make the argument. Now, I still want to give that to probably Donovan Mitchell, maybe Jalen Brunson in regards to the second best player in the Eastern Conference. But I don't think if somebody like wanted to call up your show and say, hey, I think Cade Cunningham is the second best player in the East behind Giannis, you could call him an absolute moron. Like you'd have to hear him out. So they have a guy that can take over a postseason game and certainly be the best player in a playoff series if they were to meet the Cavs. And then Jalen Duren is an absolute beast inside. So, yeah, I think you have to take the Pistons seriously. Outside of that, nothing has changed my mind with what I've seen.
Justin Termini joining us here on the show. Do you think there's too many threes being taken in the NBA now? We didn't get a nasty email, but we got an email from somebody who went to the Cavs-Houston Rockets game yesterday. They were appalled.
Well, I mean, that's been that way the last couple of years. I actually think it's come down a little bit, you know, this year. And I think one of the reasons was like Oklahoma City didn't win with the three ball last year. Indiana, the same thing. Like I felt those guys played a different style than Boston the year before. Like if you wanted to complain after Boston won the title, because I'm sitting here, I can see the Boston Garden from my window. They take too many threes. So you want to complain about the Celtics taking too many, that's fine. But
congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, thank you. And Cleveland takes too many as well. So you guys take too many threes as well. It's not necessarily appetizing on the eye.
So that's going to end up hurting us in the postseason, right?
I mean, listen, the Celtics won when they did it, but there's just too much variance. Like, I don't think if you have so much talent, you should be leading the league in threes. I think that's something you have to do when you're not as talented and hope like that you get hot and then you beat the more talented team. So, like, I don't think the Cavs necessarily should lead the league when they have as much talent as they do, especially when you have guys like Evan Mobley, you got Jared Allen, you got guys that, you know, Donovan Mitchell can score at the rim. So I don't like the idea of relying on it so much.
All right, I have a lot of thoughts on this, and I saw you quote tweeted something Steve Kerr said, that he's alarmed about the soft tissue injuries. But
what's the matter?
Well, Justin, 200 games. I'm reading Tom Haberstroh right now. Stars have missed over 200 games this season due to injury or illness, doubling the total we saw at this point 2 years ago. What do you make for this? How big of a problem is this for the league?
Well, I mean, it's a big problem when guys aren't playing. And I think my issue is more the messenger than it is actually the message that's being sent. Sometimes it gets lost because Steve Kerr complains every single day. So I'm like, am I willing if like Eric Spoelstra wants to say something or if Kenny Atkinson out there in Cleveland wants to say something? You know, Rick Carlisle is the head of the player, the coaches associate with something. Fine. It kind of gets lost when Steve Kerr is doing it. Also, Steve Kerr's got one of the older teams in the NBA. Was Steve Kerr complaining 7 years ago when his team led the league constantly in pace with Golden State, but Steph Curry was 26 instead of, you know, 36, 37 years of age? Yeah, it's an issue, but it's also your job to manage your roster so guys don't get hurt. Like, you know, in baseball, did they change the rules and go from 9 innings to 6 innings? No, they just said, all right, we're going to pitch our starters around 5 innings or, you know, 90 pitches, 100 pitches instead of 125 in 9 innings like we used to do back in the, you know, the 60s. So you have to change and find a way to utilize. You can't just go, oh, shorten the season, shorten the games. It's the NBA's fault. Like Steve Kerr is complaining about 4 games in 5 nights and back-to-backs like we used to have. And then he's going, but it also stinks to have it every other day. Okay, so what does Steve Kerr want to do then? What's his solution outside of shortening the season, which is never going to happen because guys aren't going to give money back, including Steve Kerr?
Justin Termini joining us on the show. Well, the Cavs were fined $100,000 for not putting guys out there.
Like, I was on the air when I saw that, and why is Cleveland saying on their report, like, rest for Evan Mobley, rest for Donovan Mitchell? Because in the same exact city last night, Golden State did it, right after Steve Kerr essentially admitted he was going to rest guys, but they listed Jimmy Butler out with a back, Draymond with an illness, and Steph with a, you know, an ankle. So at least they put next to their names, like, you know, maybe they'll get fined anyway. I don't know, but at least they came up with, like, these fake injuries. Cleveland's like, yeah, rest for Mobley, rest for Donovan Mitchell. So once they did that, you knew they were going to be fine because that's against the rules.
Well, so I see people saying today's NBA stars are soft. And like the Kawhi Leonard, he's the example everyone's going to bring up. And he has had serious injuries basically throughout his whole career. But you never knew if you were going to get Kawhi Leonard. If you bought tickets to a game, are you getting to see Kawhi Leonard? Last night, tickets to the Cavs game were basically giving them away. And I talked to some people that I was sitting around and they're like, yeah, the problem is nobody knows who's going to play from night to night. We didn't know if Kevin Durant was going to play tonight or not, even though he was never on an injury report. So how does the NBA fix this? Do you think it's the players that are soft, or do you think these are the teams that are so worried about playoff time, having their guys healthy, that they're the ones doing the load managing?
Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I feel like it's a combination of the two because I feel like any player that wants to play that's a relatively big name can play 82 games and the organization can't say anything because they have so much power. So if Donovan Mitchell's like, you're not holding me out of this game against Miami last week, then they're going to keep him in the game because then Donovan Mitchell can go like, all right, well, I'll go find an organization that'll allow me to play and do whatever I want. So I don't think these organizations, I think they just say it's our decision and the player has no say. So they protect the player from being criticized. And I understand times have changed, but like my question to Steve Kerr and anybody else that's like, oh, this is the hardest it's ever been. And we talked about this yesterday on my show. And maybe you can answer this for me, okay? Because Steve Kerr keeps citing the pace. Well, the pace was faster back in the day, all the way up till 1989. Now, this is the fastest it's been since 1989, but just about every single season from like 1960 through 1989, the pace was faster, okay? So let's go back to 1960, where the pace was basically 126 possessions per game. Now it's 100, okay? So it was much faster back then by like 33% or whatever that is. I'm not good at math, but it was faster back then. Then, for example, Bill Russell played 5 consecutive games in 5 different nights and played, 53 in one of those, 53 minutes in one of them, 48 multiple times. The least amount of minutes he played was 43. Plus, Bill Russell has worse shoes, worse travel, not only worse hotels. Some hotels he's being told he's, you know, not even allowed to be in because of his skin color. So mentally, that's taxing as well. Yet he's able to do it. Now, again, they didn't have as much power to complain back then as they do now. But can somebody tell me how what they're doing right now is harder than Bill Russell, what he was doing in 1960?
I will tell you. I can tell you what's harder. Yeah, I could tell you. The guys, they've done the math on this. They're running so much more because there's so much more space to cover. And go watch some of those games in the 80s. They're just running. They're just running down. They're jogging down. Like they're not. They're not. The when we're saying pace as if all pace is created equal, this game is way more taxing in games.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. You're like, you got to go out and guard the three-point line, whereas you didn't back then. So that's one aspect of it. But then I just listed about seven other things that were more difficult back then. So there's one thing that's a little bit more difficult. But again, you're supposed to be a better athlete. Human evolution.
But also back then, every team had a guy, they called it the pivot. Every team had a guy in the pivot, and they'd throw the ball down to him. He'd throw it back out to the three-point line. They'd throw it back down to the guy.
Well, you had to pass four times.
And it was just that back and forth. And I'm like, compare that to today when, as a defender, you have got to chase Steph Curry around a staggered screen. Then when they get you out of whack and there's an offensive rebound and a quick kick out, then you got to sprint to the other corner. And it's like no compare. You're not seeing that at all in the 80s.
You don't have to. James Harden doesn't do that.
So that's true.
Guys do it. But yes, no. So I understand that. So like that's like one or two things that, yes, are harder about today. But, you know, it was also very difficult. Then. What I'm saying is.
Sounds like you just don't like your sport, Termini. Yeah. Sounds like you need to get off NBA radio and go follow something else.
I love football. I don't sit there and just say, you just hate basketball. Just call yourself a basketball hater.
I absolutely despise it. It's why I attacked Steve Kerr yesterday for bringing up a negative when there's a bunch of positive stuff going on in the league right now.
I don't change
the
subject.
A bunch of positive stuff, but Steve Kerr's got to point out the negatives every 5 minutes. Right, I'm Termini. In the media trying to talk
Termini.
About good stuff.
I got a negative. I got a negative. So you have come to the right place. I was at the game last night. There were like four or five stoppages because of challenges.
We don't have time for him to bitch about
this. Is it a take foul? Is it not a take foul? You talked about the 100 possessions each team has. Teams can routinely wipe off 20-point deficits because of three-point shooting. Why are we allowing any challenges in the first half? Who cares?
Who cares? I think it's a great idea. I think they should allow more challenges.
More?
I like the breakage in play. Oh, well, you want me to say I'm too negative. I'm being positive. I think this is all good for the league. But the other thing is, that's the time for these guys to rest. You're told they got to go out and guard the three-point line. Wah, 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 wah. They're traveling more miles. All right, well, they also have these massive stoppages of play.
Fair point.
If they didn't back in 1960, if somebody got slugged across the the eyebrow or the forehead, they just had to get up and continue playing without a break. So that's
I don't care who the ball, when somebody is defending and swipes at the ball, and we're sitting there for 4 minutes determining if the ball went off the offensive player's fingertip, who cares? Just give the ball to the other team and go the other way. We're going to have 1,000 more possessions tonight. Who cares?
Well, I agree. Like, for example, you go back, like a fun little thing to do with like all the great plays in NBA history that would be wiped out and wouldn't be able to exist if you had the rules like they do today. My favorite play of all time, I think it's the greatest defensive play maybe in the history of the sport, is when Bird stole the ball from Isaiah. Like, that was a controversial play where the ball went out of bounds. If you go back, like, you probably don't even need to go back and look at it because it's so well documented you can remember. Like, it was like, who did that ball go off of? I still don't know if they got the call correct, and it really went off to Detroit, like it's difficult to, or it really went off Boston. It's difficult to tell. You would have had a stoppage in play.
We'll watch it during the break, and we will come back and tell our listeners.
Fine, we gotta go. Well, we have to go. I hate to cut this off. By the way, you can watch him on Channel 325 on Spectrum.
I wanted to find out who the ball went off.
Justin, somebody on the YouTube chat found where NBA TV was. Channel 325 on Spectrum. There you go.
There you go. Congratulations. Now I got to work on Channel 8 out of Cleveland.
728 Breeze Line, 422 Charter, 363.
All right, Justin, goodbye.
Yeah, farewell.
Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio, the NBA Today with him and Eddie Johnson. He's fantastic.
I got the play up. We're going to watch.
You and your charts, by the way. You are so proud of that effing chart. You sent it to
nobody
him during the interview.
Nobody cares. I just laugh. Nobody shoots free throws in today's NBA well. What the heck? I could shoot them in high school.
If you really cared, they put the poster boards up in the concourse. You should have made it into a poster
board. I should have made it into a poster board.
You are like some sixth grader who made a volcano in science class. You're trying to show everybody.
Just look at my chart.
The way things went last night at Rocket Arena. First of all, the Cavs played a road game yesterday. I mean, that's silly. Isn't that silly?
Silly.
I mean, if you're the Houston Rockets and you're playing in Rocket Arena, it's a home game, is it not?
Oh, I see what you said. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, Jeff, I didn't want to step on anything.
They walk into the building and their name's on it. hey, look, it's our arena.
Mm. It's like me every time I walk into Baskin Robbins. I feel like I'm at home.
Exactly. Yeah. And you get free ice cream.
No, no.
And you don't.
Just the kids that would make fun of me.
Milkshake?
No, when the kids would make fun of me when I was a kid, they'd hey, Baskin Robbins.
So the Cavaliers last night.
You didn't even let me finish the story.
Cavs fall behind
early. I used to tell them they were banned. I go, you keep it up, you'll be banned from all of our stores.
They're down 33-19 in the first quarter. They're down big at halftime, 17 points. They were down by 22 points. And, you know, it's okay. Cavs are doing just fine. This is not a big thing. Or is it? Okay? Let me just bounce this off you. If you've paid attention to the NBA at any point in your life, you know there are ebbs and flows in a game, and you know sometimes things that get you back in the game don't work, and you know the things that get you buried in a game, you got to change and everything else. Cavs were down by 22 points in the third quarter.
Okay.
And they come back, and they cut into it in a big way and have an absolutely great third quarter. And they outscore Houston 30-17 and get right back into the basketball game. And this is odd. Clearly, they're a better team with Donovan Mitchell. Let's not even entertain that thought. This is silly.
Right.
But in the third quarter, they really played the bench, hammered the bench. And, you don't want to fry your starters just in case. And one tactic you see coaches use all the time, let's go to a different group, let's get better energy, and then we'll bring the starters in to finish the game. See that all the time. In the third quarter, no Cavalier took more than four shots. You outscored them 30-17. Donovan Mitchell did not take a shot in the third quarter. And Evan Mobley had 8 points. He was 3 of 4 shooting. Lonzo Ball, 2 of 4, made all three-pointers. Craig Porter was 3 of 4. He had 6 points. Team effort, team defense, great hustle brought them back in the game. Team. Team.
Team.
Team.
Team.
So you're in it, right, Andy?
You're in it, Jeff, because you're using the teamwork aspect.
You're using the teamwork. And then you get to the fourth quarter, and you changed completely what you were doing. Which happens all the time in the NBA, okay? Mm-hmm. Great job, bench guys. You got us back into it. Now we're going to go, and here come the stars, and look out. Except last night, this was weird to me because that unit was playing so well, those bench guys, with Lonzo and Evan. Evan's a starter, but Evan was out there for a good portion of that in the third quarter. And just Craig Porter Jr. did a really nice job. It was just a really good effort. And nobody even played 12 minutes or 10 minutes in that third quarter. I mean, they were throwing bodies at it. They had 8 different guys, and they all played a significant amount. You get to that fourth quarter, Cavs took 19 shots in the fourth quarter, 10 of them by Donovan Mitchell. And he was great. He was 7 of 10 in the fourth quarter, 3 of 6 on threes. He had a 19-point quarter, Andy.
Correct.
And the Cavs lost.
Yeah, I know.
They lost the quarter, and they lost the game. And I just sat there last night watching it and thinking, okay, I know he's great. Do you need hero ball here? Evan Mobley in the fourth quarter.
I hear you.
Excuse me, 19 points in the second half for Donovan Mitchell. And, well, they all came in the fourth quarter, come to think of it. Sorry. Evan Mobley took one shot in the fourth quarter. That's on his teammates. It's on him. Also on him.
Right.
He was out there for 9 minutes, but he took one shot.
Right.
Jared Allen was only out there for 435. He took one shot. Lonzo Ball, Craig Porter, Dean Wade. Dean Wade played 10 minutes and took one shot.
One shot?
Only two, like an M&M only two Cavaliers took more than one shot in the fourth quarter. Ugh. DeAndre Hunter took 4 and Donovan took 10. And even though Donovan had an ungodly quarter, well, Houston said thank you. Houston in the fourth quarter had a real balanced attack. Aaron Holiday had 14 points off the bench. He took only 5 shots to do it. Şengün had 12 points in the quarter. He took only 4 shots to do it. And I just thought, this is how teams can get eliminated in the playoffs. When you forget you're a team and you just give it to your star player, and as good as he is, you're not going to beat a good team. Donovan's not going to beat the Rockets by himself. Now, and it's just one game, and I don't want to overblow anything because I think I am. But I just thought, stop it. Move the ball. Get some of the big guys involved. Let's go. And they lost the game.
I don't know.
Anything to what I'm saying there?
Yeah, no, I see. You know, I'm going back, and I don't know if you read Cleveland.com had the whole column this morning about Kenny Atkinson's stunning admission exposes fundamental flaw in Cavs' design, and we're not built that way, and talking about, you know, two big guys and, you know, not being able to match Houston's, you know, physicality and rebounding last night. It's just weird because they're a successful team that we saw the flaws, the playoff flaws that are sitting out there last year, and they were glaring. In fact, the last 2 years, and it just makes you go back and wonder, and is this enough to get as far as you want to go? And I don't think Cavs fans believe it is, that there's got to be a tweak. I don't know, it's got to be changed, Jeff, but it just feels like there's a tweak. And when you talk about Jared Allen in the fourth quarter, you talk about one shot. What did Mobley end up with? How many shots did you say?
One.
Like, you can't.
And Evan was out there for a long period of time. It's not just on Donovan being hero ball.
No.
Evan's got to be more forceful. But Dan was screaming about offensive rebounding. Evan had one offensive rebound last night. Jared Allen had two. Nobody had more than two.
How do you fix it, Jeff? You got to make a move, huh?
Well, that's your thought.
I'm asking, it's easy to say you got to make a move.
I'm not. You know what I think about the two big guys. I like them both.
I do, too. I like that kind of basketball.
Let me say one thing here.
But if you're not going to play team basketball, Jeff, is it still, you know?
Well, now that's a real valid
question. That's my point. Like, I love watching big guys. I like the way, as we talked about it, the way they played in the third quarter yesterday, the ability to move the ball and get back into the game, bravo.
One thing that was a problem last night, Steven Adams, you know, should be in a pro wrestling ring.
Yeah.
He is big, he is strong, he is physical, and he's going to throw Jared Allen and Evan Mobley around.
And that happened.
Allen, he had 6 offensive rebounds, 11 rebounds total in the game. Şengün is a terrific big guy for them, and he did a nice job and scored like crazy. He's a more physical guy than either of our guys. But you don't necessarily, I don't think, have to out-physical guys that you know you're not going to out-physical. You got to out-quick those guys. You know, and Evan's just got to, I've been screaming since he got here that Evan needs to be the first or second best player on your team for you to do what you need to do as a team, which is get out of the second round of the playoffs. That's not just on the team. That's on Evan, too. It's time, Andy, that he steps up and becomes more forceful out there. And we've seen it at times. But I still think he takes a secondary role sometimes by himself. You know, not necessarily plan. But, and that was without Darius last night.
Right.
You know, if Darius comes back, there's another guy who's going to command the ball. Hmm. Which, again, goes back to one of my main thoughts about this whole thing. But I want to see Evan take that step. And it's not just on his team anymore. It's on Evan, too. And sometimes you see it. I mean, the guy was a defensive player of the year. He's terrific. I think he's a really good player. But I think we want him to be even better than that. And so I think he's just got to be a little more aggressive. And I think he can be. But again, it gets back to, is this whole team the right fit? But keep this in mind. Against a good Houston team, hero ball didn't work. And what do you see in the playoffs, Andy? Good teams.
And physical play.
Usually physical play.
Yep. So, so then it just goes back to where we are in the beginning. Like, do they need to make a move? And is it feels like they could beat 80% of the teams in the league.
But they're a great regular season team, and they're a great team, period. They really are. I mean, they've got a really nice starting five. I think their bench depth is fine. I'd like it to see it be a little more consistent, but I love the Alonzo Ball addition. I think he's great. Craig Porter Jr., I think, has stepped up his game this year. I think he's making an impact when he comes into the game. I liked it when they brought in Thomas Bryant. They haven't played Thomas very much. I just like having an extra big who's, you know, a physical guy who has some touch as well. Larry Nance, nice decision to get, but to, you know, to bring Larry in. He's not going to be a huge, huge stat sheet contributor, but he's a good player. He knows how to play. And Proctor looks okay so far. You know, so we'll see. But they've been dinged up with injuries. And it's just been a, it's not been the 15-0 start from last year. They're 10-6. That's just fine.
Yeah, and with the injuries and stuff,
you gotta figure some things out.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.